Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. It's Gospel 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Psalms number 37, Psalms number 37. I want to commence reading at verse 23. Psalm number 37, verse 23. And it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Verse 24 says, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Verse 25, "I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk for just a little while from the thought, a message to those who would be wise. A message to those who would be wise. David writes this word. How helpful is it to help the believer to understand that when we come into relationship with God our Father, especially in this dispensation through his Son Jesus Christ, the life we live is no longer ours, but God's. And when we are able to fully wrap our minds around the fact that we belong to God, then we no longer treat our lives like we are the ones in charge and in control of our lives. We yield then our vessels to God. We seek him for his direction, for his instructions, and for those things that he purposes our lives to be and to become. When we begin to understand and when we begin to fully embrace this idea of yielding ourselves to what pleases God the most. We hear one David who has been a shepherd boy and then has been elevated to the king of Israel, a man after God's own heart, a man who has shed much bloodshed, a man who has fought against a lion and a bear and defeated them, a man who has known many ups and downs, many ins and outs, many rights and wrongs, and he comes to that point where he now recognizes that life is not worth anything if God is not in control. God is in control, but he still allows our free will. And what does that mean? That means, one, that God's will is the best way. But if we don't recognize that, he lets us make our own choices, but we also have to suffer the consequences of those same choices. And so he says here, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So when we begin looking at, first of all, the steps, we recognize that God is in control of our starts, our stops. He's in control of our speed or the tempo of our steps. God is the one who gives us the cadence by which we are to march or to move according to his word, his will, and his way. He says, of a good man. Well, the best way to interpret a good man in this context is to take one of the O's out of good. And it will say, the steps of a God man. I wish I had a help in the house. Because this is talking about a godly person or a godly man here. Listen. The steps of a God man or God woman are ordered or ordained or are operated or prepared or established by the Lord. Now, what does that mean for us? It simply means that before I take a step, I have to get my orders from God. And when I get my orders from God and he tells me to march in whatever said direction, every step I know that I take is a step that's been well planned and well thought out and well protected as I walk in obedience to God. In other words, I don't have to worry about what's ahead when I am walking according to what God has ordained. And see, my brothers and sisters, one of the good things about walking in the steps that God orders or ordains is the fact that he's walking along with us. No wonder David had no problem in the 23rd Psalm in the 4th verse when he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why, David? For thou art with me. Then he goes on to tell you, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Those are just extras. But what really comforts him is the fact that thou art with me. Because when you say thou art with me, you might as well say everything else is too. Because everything you need is in God's hand. And if God is present, you've got a very present help. Any witnesses in the house? Listen, and so you've got to recognize that the steps of a God man are ordered, ordained by the Lord. And notice what it says, and he delighteth in his way. Here's his word, delight comes again. It also was in the same 37 number in the 4th verse where David said, delight thyself also in the Lord. And what's going to happen, David? And he shall give thee
the desires of thine heart. Now, David is putting it in perspective. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Well, what are you telling me? God is saying to us, when we delight in us, he's going to give us what we ought to delight in, what we ought to desire, and what we ought to walk in. You ain't got to figure it out. He's already worked it out when you put your trust in him. He's already said, when you delight in him, and then you commit your way to him, and then you trust in him, then you can get your orders from him. And when you do that, you don't have to worry about ever taking the wrong path at the wrong time, because the right God is leading you every step of the way. But he introduces a human reality into this thought by saying in the 24th verse, though he fall. What do you mean? The God man can fall? The God woman can fall? Yes, they can and they will. Why? To err is human. God is in control, but remember, he still permits our will to be free. So when he permits our will to be free, there are times when the free will and the carnal flesh tries to have its own way. Because there is a continual conflict with the flesh and the spirit. Every day, don't you think that the flesh and the spirit is not one? Don't think that just because you pray and fast and tithe and give and live and do for God that Satan isn't looking for every opportunity to try to get back in. Satan is always trying to get you back. You remember the Jackson 5 song, I Want You Back? Every time Satan gets an opportunity to try and pull you back, he does it with everything that he has at his disposal. That's why we've got to learn how to pray and to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to operate in the Spirit. And only then in the Spirit will we not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Though he fall. Because God only provides the help when we ask for it. See, sometimes we start walking and we get a little too, as the old folk used to say to young folk, you getting too grown now. Some things you start thinking you can do all by yourself, on your own, don't need no help, don't need no advice, don't need no encouragement, you think you can do it all by yourself, and then sometime they let you and you fall flat of your face or your back, either one, you're down. And then while down, listen, while they've let you make your own mistakes, when you come to yourself, they don't leave you down, but they will help you up, dust you off, and put you back in place. Well, the same thought is here. Who better than David knew about missing it, about messing up, about being a man who truly desired to be in the heart of God, to have the heart of God, to experience in the heart of God, and to have fellowship with the heart of God? Who better than David? But yet, who more than David missed the mark and disappointed God on major levels? Just because you're saved don't mean that you are free from the attacks of the enemy. Matter of fact, the closer you get to God, the more Satan comes at you. the more he tries to make you slip, the more he tries to make you turn back, the more he tries to make you follow God from afar off. Because if he can put any distance between you and God, then he can infiltrate the thinking process and the actions and the attitudes and the ambitions and the activities that cause you to walk with God and become separated. Because if he introduces sin into the situation, he separates you from God. But David says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. In other words, the fall was his fault, not God's. The moment he's ready to get up and come to himself like the prodigal son, God will be right there to assist him in being restored, because it means he's come to himself, he's confessed his sins, he's repented, and so God is now at liberty to restore him. Listen, listen, listen. And so when you begin to understand this, it puts this in the light of the fact that though you are working for God, walking with God, living for God, don't think that you have become perfected on your own. You need God every step of the way. Then when you do that enough, waking up in the morning, talking with God, going through the day, fellowshipping with God, ending your day, talking with God, studying his word, and then you get up the next day and you wake up and you talk with God and you share his word and you walk with him through the day, and then you end that day again talking with him and then letting him talk to you through his word, and then you go to bed and then you get up in the morning and then you do it again and it starts all over again, you will learn that in the process of time, things change. You might have been young and strong and virile and black hair, head full of hair. You start recognizing your skin was tight, pop like a rubber band. You recognize that you could run, you could walk, you could work almost all day and never feel it. You could do work all day and still enjoy life all afternoon, all evening, and all the rest of that, and you'd have to make yourself go to bed at night. But time kept on ticking. And little did you recognize that all of the things you were proud of and was steeped in now have changed. And now the picture changes. And David said, I once was young. I don't know if he was talking to somebody who was young and who was like he was, because how oftentimes do we see young people who remind us of ourselves when we were that age and how foolish we were and how we thought this was this and that was that, and old folk couldn't tell us nothing because they were too outdated and antiquated and didn't understand what was going on, and yet they could read you like a book and you didn't have sense enough to know it. They had been there and done that and could tell you what your next step was, but you didn't receive it because you didn't think they knew what they were talking about. And so if you will be wise, listen to what he says. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen. I've seen many things in my life. No doubt when he makes this statement, there are a myriad of thoughts that flow through his heart and through his mind about what he has experienced and what he has seen and what he has observed in life. And now he has come to an old stage in life, and he's looking upon and reflecting upon all of those examples, but he gets down to one and said, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Of all the things I've seen, I've never seen the righteous. And I don't know, my brothers and sisters, but this is a good moment for the righteous to be shouting. Because when you are right with God, you don't have to worry. Listen, when you take care of God's family, God will take care of your family. When you take care of God's business, God will take care of your business. When you take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. And David said, I've seen it, I've seen it, I've seen it, but I've never seen God misuse or abuse or let down or forsake the righteous. The righteous. But not only not the righteous, but the seed of the righteous. You see, this is a drawback to the Egyptians and to the children of Israel, and how the children of Israel, when they were coming out of Egypt, when they were going through the wilderness, rather believed the Egyptians and the lifestyle that they had known rather than the new lifestyle and the promise that God had made to them. And when things got tough, the prophet was asked to Moses, did you bring us out in the wilderness to die? Our children to come out here and die? What kind of God would lead us out of one captivity into another? Well, at least we had it where we had settled with the slavery we were in Egypt. We knew where our next meal was coming from. We knew where we would lay our heads down. We knew what would come from day to day. But here, it seems like God has led us to the promised land only to kill us in the wilderness. And let me tell you what God did. Everyone that thought like that, that murmured against Moses and God, God let the words that they spoke out of their mouths be the reality for them. But let me tell you what else he did. He said, just because your parents have been a fool, don't mean that God is going to misuse the children. So he let all of their children come out of the wilderness and let their parents die where they confessed that. My brothers and sisters, listen. God is faithful. Let me say it again. God is faithful. Now, there be some other people in your life that may not be faithful, but God is faithful. I don't care what you're dealing with. God is faith. I don't care what sickness you're going through. God is faithful. I don't care how funny your money is. God is. I don't care what troubles you're dealing with. God is faith. I don't care how many enemies are all around you. God is faithful. I don't care what you're going through. You've got to remember God is faithful. And because God is faithful, you can depend on him. And that's one thing I hear David saying here. I have been young. But now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, his seed begging bread. Well, I hear you, David, but where else can I find confirmation of this? Well, that's why I love the word of the Lord. If you just take time to read the word, God will show you what he's done once. He can do it again. I wish I had a witness here. How many of you know the story of the sons of the prophet Elisha? Oh, Lord. One day, the prophet's son died. And his wife came to the prophet and said, "Prophet, my husband, your servant, is dead. And the bondsmen have come to take my two sons and make them as slaves because your servant, my husband, didn't leave your money. All he did was serve you and believe the promises of a God who would not fail him. But all I got to tell you is my husband's dead and the evil men have come to take care of my sons." He said, "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Yang," the woman said, "I don't have but a little oil in a cruse." He said, "What else do you have?" She said, "Well, that's all I have." He said, "Well, I tell you what you do. You go out and borrow vessels, big vessels, small vessels, tall vessels, short vessels, wide vessels, skinny vessels. Get all the vessels you can get a hold of and go back in your house and pour the little oil in each one of them." Well, how many of you know sometime what God tells you to do don't make a lot of sense then? But if you would just be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. That woman went out, her and her sons, and knocked on doors. "Can I borrow a few vessels?" "Yeah, how many you need? Give me all you got." And they kept on, and he reminded her, "Don't just go in the neighborhood, but go way down the street."
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.